go to God in prayer. Lord, thanks for being with us. Lord, thanks that we're going to see you face to face one day. And God, just like Noah and his family loved you, Lord, help us to keep you in the center of our life every day. And to go to you first of all when anything happens, God, whether it be physical, whether it be mechanical, whenever anything falls apart or whenever there's something good happening, help us to go to you right away and ask for help or thank you for it. And Lord, thank you for today. Bless the message. Open our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the Feast of Trumpets. And in our Bibles, the word is feast, but it's really in Hebrew, moed, and it means appointed time. It's God's appointed time of trumpets. Now, the Jews call it Rosh Hashanah. Rosh simply means the head or the first, and Hashanah, ha is the, and shana is year, the first of the year. And it's the first of their secular year. Because the biblical year always started 2 weeks before Passover or before Good Friday. But the Jews actually had four firsts of the year. And we do too. I mean, we have our calendar year starts January 1st. We have the school year, which starts, you know, the end of October. End of August or the first part of September. We have a fiscal year. Some people have a fiscal year. So we have different firsts of the year, just like the Jews had. But they called this time the Feast of Trumpets, the appointed time of trumpets, the first of their civil year. Now, in the Bible, in Leviticus 23, God gave seven yearly appointed times. And trumpets is the fifth one. Now, God in the Bible didn't tell what trumpets was for. The Bible doesn't even mention what it is for. God simply said, blow the trumpet. And as we read the Bible, we can begin to see what it might be for. But God says, blow the trumpet. And so on Thursday and Friday, which are the 2 days of the appointed time of trumpets, the Jews blow the trumpets. They blow the trumpets in their synagogues 100 times. Now they're fast, dot, 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 dot. So it goes by pretty quickly. But that last time is called the great trumpet, the great shout, and or the last trump, and Mark blew it up here, where it's held out long. And it's reminiscent of when God was on Mount Sinai giving Moses the Ten Commandments, and he blew the trumpet, and it was loud, and it was long, and the people were scared. Because there was God right there in their presence. He says, blow the trumpets. Now, there are several things that the Jews remember on the appointed time of trumpets. You see, in Judaism, and when you read the Bible and you come across something, the Jews look at it three ways. And we would do well to begin to look at our scripture readings in three different ways also. They look at it as what took place in the past, what does it mean for us for today, and what does it mean for the future? Now think about that. What does it mean in the past? What happened in the past? What does it say to us today? And what does this say to us for the future? Many sermons are preached that way. Past history. How does it speak to our hearts right now? And what does it tell us about the future? Well, when the Jews blow the trumpets on the appointed time of trumpets, they think of things that happened in the past. And one of the things they celebrate is that is the creation of Adam and Eve. And the Jews say that Adam and Eve were created 5,778 years ago. We got that on our church sign out there, 5778. But there's some rabbis that say our calendar is off and we're missing 240 some years. And so this year is really 6,000 plus a few years, which is very interesting. And they say we lost these years when the Jews were in Babylon. So they remember the creation of Adam and Eve. But they also think about when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah. And there's many things that they think about on these days, because God said that his moeds, his appointed times, were a time when you would have a holy convocation. And the word for holy convocation in the Bible is mikra. And it means to read, recite, and rehearse. So on these appointed times, God wants us to read, recite, and rehearse. It's a time to think about what happened. What does it mean for us today? And what does it mean in the future? It's a time to reflect. What does it mean in the future? Well, these seven yearly appointed times of God are all future fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You see, the first appointed time was Passover. And the Jews in the past came out of Egypt, and the angel of death passed over their homes. And then they celebrated it every year with the bread and the wine that we have here in communion. That was celebrated every year. We do it every other Sunday. We are celebrating that Passover. And that was fulfilled by Jesus when he came and died on the cross on Passover, Good Friday. Their second appointed time happens right after Passover. Actually, it even blends right in with Passover. And it's called unleavened bread. And yeast in the Bible represents sin. And Jesus was sinless. And unleavened bread has no yeast in it. And so here Jesus died on the cross on Passover, the sinless Lamb of God. And then the first day after the Sabbath, the Jews celebrated first fruits. It was the third appointed time. And the rabbis would go down to the field and harvest the first fruit of the barley harvest and wave it before God. And they couldn't harvest barley in Israel until the rabbis did that, until first fruits. And on first fruits, we call it Easter Sunday morning. Jesus rose from the dead, the first fruit of the resurrection from the dead. And the Bible tells us that there were many of the graves in Israel that were opened up right after Christ arose. And they were the first fruits that he presented to God the Father on that day. The first fruits from the resurrection of the dead. And then, 50 days later, was Pentecost. And the Jews remember that the Ten Commandments were given at Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost. So these first four appointed times fulfilled by Jesus Christ, and Pentecost, the conception of the church. And now there were 4 months until trumpets. And there's a Bible verse, and we read it here just a Sunday or two ago, where Jesus said, I tell you that there are 4 months until the harvest. Now look at the symbolism here. 4 months from Pentecost till trumpets. And Jesus said, 4 months until the harvest. But I tell you that the fields are already ripe for harvest. You see, trumpets is the beginning of the final harvest of God. Trumpets is the beginning of the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Now, it doesn't mean that he returns on trumpets, but it sets in motion the final times when Jesus will come back to this earth. Within 3 weeks, 22 days on the Jewish calendar, 23 days on our calendar, because the Jewish calendar starts at sundown. We still have a day yet there. 22 days on the Jewish calendar, the final three appointed times of God are celebrated. And it begins with trumpets. So what's going to happen in the future on trumpets? Well, the Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search it out. Something's going to happen on trumpets some year. We don't fully know what. This past year, on Thursday and Friday, there were many believers that thought the rapture could happen. And it could on trumpets. They thought it was going to happen because there were so many things lining up, both in the heavens and on earth, and so many things. It blows us away when we start to look at all of it. So we know we're getting closer to the return of Jesus, but the rapture didn't happen, and we don't know what happened, if anything, this last trumpets. But Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour for all of these things. He said that for a reason. However, that is a Jewish expression, and that expression does apply to the appointed time of trumpets, because it's 2 days long, and no one knew the exact day, whether it was the first day or the second day, or the exact hour that it started. And they didn't know that because it didn't officially start until two witnesses saw the first sliver of the new moon and sent up a signal fire to the chief rabbi in Jerusalem, and then he announced the official start of the appointed time of trumpets. So no one in Israel knew the day or the hour. And we still don't. And you see, even those that thought it could have happened, Jesus said, the angels in heaven don't even know. And God wants it that way. He wants us to be continually looking forward to his coming. And that's why at Easter, you know, we look at what Jesus rose from the dead. Pentecost, we look at the giving of the Holy Spirit. And during these fall appointed times, he wants us to look at his second coming. And someday he's going to surprise us all. And how? Well, that's up to him. But it's going to be a surprise, because it's going to catch us all unaware, except if we have Jesus in our heart. We are always ready anyway. And the reason it's going to catch us unaware is because if we knew the exact date when he was going to return, we may not do things the way we normally do. And Jesus tells a story about a rich man that gave his money to his servants, and then he went away, and he told his servants, now occupy until I come. Jesus wants us to occupy until he comes, to keep doing the ministry that he's called us to do, to keep doing the service that he's called us to do. He doesn't call us to stop. He calls us to keep right on going. In a month, we're going to celebrate the Reformation. And Martin Luther was once asked, what would you do today if you knew the end of the world was going to come tomorrow? And Martin Luther replied, I would plant a tree. You see, you're still looking forward. God wants us to look forward and yet be ready for his return all the time. Now, something's going to happen during trumpets some year. We may not hear it. It may be spiritual. But it will set in motion the events that will lead up to Jesus' return. And the Bible tells us that there will be 7 years of tribulation. The Old Testament calls it Jacob's trouble. And the Jews think of this time as paralleling the 7 days between trumpets and Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. 2 days of trumpets, and then there's 7 days, and then there's the Day of Atonement. During these next, 5 days now, because we are in, Saturday was the first day, this is the second day of those days of awe. This is a time for repentance. Because during the tribulation, this is going to be a time for the world to repent. But during these next 6 days, God calls us all to get our hearts right with him. He actually called us to do that 40 days before Yom Kippur, when we had that eclipse of the sun. But now specifically, he calls us to look at repenting during this time. This is a time when Jews, if they have bad relationships with other people, they will go and apologize or make it up. If we have bad relationships with people, this is a time to pray about it and ask the Lord to change our hearts and go to them and be good to them or apologize or whatever. But to seek forgiveness. Because on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, which will be, by the way, next Saturday, that is actually a remembrance of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the Jews are looking for their Messiah to appear on that day. And we sang about it, you know, we will behold him. They are looking for that appearance, and that will happen at the end of the tribulation, and all Israel, the Bible says, will be saved. Until that day, there's going to be an Antichrist that's going to arise, and they're going to think that he's the Messiah, but he's not. But on that day, and we're going to talk more about Yom Kippur next Sunday, and I'm going to share something that I learned this last month about Yom Kippur that I never knew before, and it just opened it up to me in a way I never saw it before like that. And it's from history. And it's, if you're here next Sunday, I'm going to share that with you. And you'll never forget it. It's so eye-opening. And you will think about it differently for the rest of your life. But until then, God wants us to get our hearts right with him. Just think about Jesus. Just talk to him. Get closer to him. That's what he wants. And he gives us more time to get closer to him. But he wants us during this time to think about a day when he is going to return and we are going to stand before him. And what a glorious day that is going to be. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you that there's coming a day when you will return. But Lord, until that day, keep our hearts right with you. Help us to know you. Give us a desire to want to grow closer to you. And we thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.